If you have your Bibles this blessed Christmas morning, open your Bibles up to the book of Matthew, first book of the New Testament and the first chapter. Matthew chapter 1. The title of our sermon today is The Foundation of Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, looking at verses 18 through 25. God's word says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her an example, a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her to be his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus." Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be able to share a message about what you've done for us this Christmas day. God, it's hard for us to realize all the blessings that you've given us throughout this whole year. It's hard for us to realize, God, that even in the state that we're in, with the mistakes that we make, that you love us so much, that you sent your Son to come and to be born among us, to live among us, to save us from our sins. God, Christmas gives us a hope, and we thank you for sending your Son for that, Lord. God, I know Christmas is also a time, while rejoicing for some, of sorrow for others. God, I know there's some that have lost family members this year, and so Christmas might not be the same to them. There are others that are going through and suffering or taking care of family members that are suffering. Christmas just isn't the same for them this year. God, I pray that you would be with their hearts, Lord. God, that you would help all the worries and burdens and sadness just to dissolve right now as I share this message of hope today, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you've done for us, not just this Christmas, but all year long. Thank you for the precious gift of Jesus. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray, Lord. Amen. So what does Christmas mean to you? For some, Christmas might mean Santa. Looking forward to those presents that Santa brings and all the candy and joy and happiness. That vision of Christmas can excite us. For others, Christmas might mean shopping, finding that perfect gift or making that perfect gift for the one that you love. But all that shopping can tire us out. And Christmas can become tired if that's all we're focused on. For others, Christmas might mean family gatherings, good times together. And that type of Christmas warms our heart, just makes a special moment for us. For many others in the world that don't know much about Christmas, it's just about decoration and lights and different songs. But what does Christmas mean to you? I guess that if I was to ask every single one of you one-on-one today, you'd say Christmas kind of means a collaboration of those things. It means a couple of those things. Well, when I was thinking about what to preach on the Christmas story this week, as I shared with you in the beginning today before we got started, I thought about my past sermons. I thought about clever ideas. I thought about catchy sermon names. But the Lord showed me something different, so I decided not to be clever. Because I don't want you to leave this place today, this day of all days, without your heart being stirred. I don't want you to leave this place asking the question today, so what? What is this story about a virgin birth and babies and shepherds? What does that have to do with me? Instead, I want you to leave church today, having sensed the quiet wonder, the profound mystery of God Himself. Today is not a day just to listen to explanation, but it's simply a morning to enter in to the mystery of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. To have all the busyness put behind you. To have all the worries of the world flushed down the toilet. So that you can sense the wondrous mystery, the gracious goodness, the personal, intimate in this life that God has given to you. The love of God that has come to this world, not by grandness and majesty, not with lots of earthly wealth, not in a delivered in a suite in the Hilton, but in the stillness of the night, in the darkness of a night sky, in the remoteness of a stable, in the smallness of a manger, a borrowed feed stall for animals, because there was no room for him in the inn. I'm worried that today in the United States of America, we don't have any room for God in our lives either. Just like there was no room for him in the inn, it seems like there's no room for him in our life. Now don't get me wrong, we have plenty of room for more toys and gadgets this Christmas. We have plenty of room for movies and new video games and new clothes. But all those things are pushing out the real meaning of Christmas, which is understanding Jesus. The Christmas story is such a beautiful story. It's a story about miracles and faithfulness and love and compassion and grace and hope and prophecies coming true. But in order to understand the Christmas story, you got to understand the foundation of Christmas for the Christmas story to even be important, really for it to even be relevant. So today I want to talk about why we need Jesus, what the Christmas story really means, and how you can enjoy Christmas all year long. You see, the foundation of Christmas doesn't come from Luke, and it doesn't even come from the passage in Matthew that I just read. The foundation from Christmas really starts in Genesis chapter 3. You remember the story. When Adam and Eve were formed, they were instructed by God, you can have anything you want in the Garden of Eden, just don't eat of these trees. That's when the foundation of Christmas really started. Because Eve was tempted by Satan. She ate of the fruit, shared it with Adam. He ate of it also. And that's when sin entered the world. You see, Christmas wouldn't be a big deal if there was no reason to have Jesus. So the foundation of Christmas is that first sin that Adam and Eve had committed. Some of you may say, well, I thought the foundation of Christmas was Mary giving birth to that beautiful Savior. No, that's the first Christmas. The foundation of Christmas, the reason we need Christmas, is because we're sinners and we need to be saved by grace. Amen? Amen. That leads me to my second point. Why we all need a Savior. Why we all need Jesus. Well, back in Genesis, we know the bad news is that Adam and Eve's sin had a punishment. Does anybody know what that punishment was?
They'll die.
Death? Genesis 2:17 tells us, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, that wasn't just for them. Our sin is punishable by death too. The scripture shared in Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. We all want what we deserve. We all want what we earn. We all want what we work for. If you go to work on Christmas Day, you want time and a half. Amen? If you work hard during the year, you want a Christmas bonus, don't you? We want what we earn. But in this scripture, I don't think we really want what we earn. Because it says the wages of sin, which we've committed, is death. I don't know about you, but I don't want death. So it sounds like bad news. But the second part of the scripture is great. It says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God is a God of grace. So Jesus, the important thing about Jesus' birth is he came down to save us from our sins. If you and I wouldn't have sinned, there would be no reason to have Jesus. But because we've sinned, Jesus gives us a glimpse of hope that someday we can have that gift of God, which is eternal life. God sentenced man to death because of our sin. It wasn't because God's a mean God, because God hates us. It was because of what we did. But God loved us so much, He sent His only begotten Son to take our punishment on Him so that we could have everlasting life. That leads me to my third point. What does Christmas mean to me? The Christmas story really is about God and you. That's it. That all it comes down to. Let me explain. There's people that have been waiting years for these prophecies to come true. They've been waiting for the Messiah to come, looking forward to the day that He would come. The Christmas story really is simple. It's about God being with us. God became human to live with us. Jesus walked, just like we walk. He sweated when He worked, just like we sweat when we work. He attended worship, just like we're doing today. You know, Jesus even dealt with some difficult people. You ever dealt with some difficult people? Amen. Jesus struggled with all the issues of humanity, including physical suffering and death. Jesus knows firsthand what we go through. Why? Because He's been here and He's done that. But the Christmas story means we have hope. Maybe this year you've gone through some rough times. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you're struggling financially. Or you're having relationship problems. Or you don't even know why you're here today. God loves you and gives you hope. Jesus was born a virgin. And He walked this earth, the same earth that you're walking on today. That's interesting to think about. He was born in the lowest places that you could ever be born. You know where most of you were born? In a hospital. Maybe some in a car on the way to the hospital or an ambulance. But most born in a hospital. Jesus was born in a feeding trough. Animals were eating food out of there. They took that food out. They put some clean straw in there. And that's where He was born. Why? Because He didn't need to be born in a castle. He didn't need to be born to some king and queen. He wanted the whole world to know that He could identify with anybody. Whether you're a king, whether you're a queen, whether you're the lowest of low or the highest of highs. Many people associate Jesus with a picture of the baby in a manger. And if that's where you still see Jesus today, then you're really missing out. We celebrate Jesus' birth as a baby born in a manger. But that's our first picture of Jesus, but it can't be our last. The Christ child in the manger makes a beautiful Christmas scene, but if we leave Him there, He's not doing anything for us. That tiny, helpless baby lived an amazing life. He lived for us. He taught in synagogues for us. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He performed all kinds of miracles for us. But He also died for us. He ascended to heaven. And He'll return on earth as the King of Kings. Christ will rule the entire world. So if you still see that picture of Jesus as a little baby in a manger, you're missing out on the power that God brings to the table for us. Yes, the Christmas story shows that God loves us. You've heard it many times. God loves us so much that He did what? Sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, right? Because He loved us. What better gift can you have this Christmas than to know Jesus? But not only did He give us His life, not only did He pay the price of our sins, but He also, when He died, He went to heaven to build a place for us. John 14, 1 through 3 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house there are many mansions, and if it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, that you may be also." Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. Whatever situation you're in right now, whether it's a good situation or a problematic situation, He's right there and He wants to help you. He's not a helpless baby in a manger. That's just what we celebrate today. Jesus is alive and real. And He's there to help you if you just call on His name. But more than that, He's already building us a place in heaven so that we can be with Him. I'm a father. I love my children. I want the best for them. You know? But as a dad, I make mistakes. Jesus didn't make mistakes. He loved us so much, He gave everything that He had, including His life. So if you don't remember anything from our sermon today, remember this. Christmas should be a time where we remember that Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins. Christmas is a time to think about all the things that God has done for you and really thank Him for what He's done. My fourth and final question I want to ask is, how can you truly enjoy Christmas all year long? Now, there are some people that have a Christmas tree and they leave it up all year long. There are. It starts out as a Christmas tree, but then it becomes a St. Patrick's Day tree and a Valentine's Day tree and an Independence Day tree and a Memorial Day tree and every tree. I mean, every month there's something you can decorate a tree for. They just keep their tree up all year long. But how can you celebrate Christmas all year long? It's a good thing to observe Christmas Day, to read the story of Christmas, to decorate with lights, share gifts, and celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But there is a better way to observe Christmas, which is all through the year. You see, the world, they may not understand what Christmas is about, but they sure get ready for it. I'll bet if you went to every single person in your neighborhood that had lights, and you asked them, what is Christmas about? You'd get different answers from a lot of them. I'll bet less than half would tell you anything about Jesus. So our world doesn't know anything about it, but yet they get ready for it. So as a Christian, how should we get ready for it? Well, there's a lot of different ways. But if you think about Christmas, as our towns get ready for it, as our neighbors get ready for it, as our whole continent gets for it, it seems that people are happy. Things slow down a little bit for many. And we start to exhibit some of those traits that Jesus shared. Love, grace, mercy. I love the fact that Jesus walked with all people in all forms of life. It didn't matter whether they were rich or poor. It didn't matter if they were nourished or they needed to be healed. He didn't care. God is so good to us. So if you want to have Christmas in your life all year long, when you have those moments of frustration, and you will, I promise it. You've got to take a minute and think about all the good things you have. All the things that God has blessed you with. That'll help you enjoy Christmas all year long. Another thing is to think about this. Stop focusing on ourselves and start focusing on the Lord. And what I mean when I say that is, ignore what the world owes you. And think about, what do you owe the world? Forget what you've done for other people and remember what other people have done for you. Look behind your fellow man or woman's face and understand their heart. If you're willing to do those things for even one day, then you can make Christmas last all year long. Instead of focusing on yourself, focus on helping others. Look at people and remember the weakness and loneliness that people have as they grow older and try to help them the same way that Jesus helped you. Stop asking how much your friends love you and ask yourself whether you love them enough. If you're willing to do those things for even a day, then you can keep Christmas all year too. Are you willing to believe that love, is the strongest thing in this physical world where we live? Stronger than hate, stronger than evil, even stronger than death. If you believe that, if you believe that that blessed life, which began in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, is the image and the brightness of eternal love, then you can keep Christmas too. One more point and I close. Jesus' entrance into the world was fascinating. It fulfilled prophecy. He had gifts brought from afar. Local shepherds, men honored him. People were waiting for the Messiah for many years. And it turns out the birth and the death is what saves us from our sin and gives us eternal life. But in Isaiah 9:6, the scripture says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." God the Son, Jesus, left his sanctuary to be made lesser in the form of a human. He left behind perfection to live as one of us, to restore our broken relationship due to Adam's sin in Genesis 3 and our sin. He came down to save you and I from our sins. This morning, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't truly enjoy Christmas. Because you need Jesus to know what Christmas is all about. You need Him living in your heart and in your life. And you know what? When all the presents are unwrapped, and all the food is eaten, and all your family leaves to go back home, and you take the decorations down, Christmas will be over for you. Unless you know Jesus. Unless you start doing some of those things that I told you. Stop looking at what the world owes you, and look at what you owe the world. Stop looking at how many people you've loved on, and start looking at how many more people there are to be loved. We should take this special Christmas time to learn about Jesus, to love Him, to pray to Him, to adore Him, to worship Him, to ask Him for forgiveness. I'll tell you, I've given my life to Jesus over 20 years ago, and I haven't regretted it one bit. I was in a place that many of you are in today, where I said, well, God, there's just one more thing I have to do before I give my life to You. And I'd do that one thing, and a day'd go by. Pastor would give an altar call, and again, I wouldn't come. Because I'd say, well, there's just one more thing I need to do before I give my life to You. And I remember my brother sharing a story with me. Him playing basketball with a 16-year-old boy. They're on the basketball team together. As I was thinking about giving my life to the Lord. And his friend on the way home lost control of his car in the fog, hit a tree, and died. My brother was the last person on earth to be able to spend time with that little boy. You'd never think a 16-year-old would die on the way home from basketball practice. But he did. The reason I'm telling you that story is because if there's just one more thing you got to do before you give your life to the Lord, that one more thing could mean the difference between heaven and hell for you. I don't want it to mean the difference for you. Don't let one more thing get in between you and God. As we celebrate Jesus' birthday today, if you don't know Jesus, now is the time to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today, God. We know that You are forgiving and graceful and merciful. God, we know that many people during this time of Christmas are going to talk about how beautiful the baby Jesus is. God, I thank You that You're not a baby anymore. I thank You, God, that You lived. I thank You, God, that You died. I thank You, God, that You paid the price for my sins. God, while I'm unworthy and I don't deserve any forgiveness or any grace or any mercy, You stood on that cross, that tree that wanted to point itself towards heaven. And God, were nailed there willingly. And crucified and died, bearing my sin. Not for anything You did, but it's because of what I did to You, Lord. On Your birthday, God, I remember those things. I remember losing my temper. I remember the anger in my heart. I remember the hatred for people. I remember taking things from people that weren't mine. I remember doing all these different terrible things, saying things about people. God, I thank You for forgiving me for those sins, Lord. I'm sorry of what You had to do for me. God, my present to You this year is going to be to try to be a better father, to be a better husband, to be a better pastor, to spend more time in Your Word than I ever have before. God, I give my life to You because I love You. Not because You ask me to, but because I owe it to You. It was bought with a price. Lord, thank You, Jesus, for this message. Thank You for Your birth. Thank You for the hope that You give all of us that are going through troubles today. That dark and deep hour you're going through today, it's not going to last forever. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to come out, and you're going to come out victorious if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. But if you don't, life could be a bad place for you, and death even worse. Lord, help us today. I know there's lots of things on people's hearts. If anyone needs to come pray for any reason, Let them come and pray as we sing this verse of invitation. That verse is hymn 508, I Will Serve Thee.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found. Thank you.